Welcome to the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Dead Soxy, hosted by RebelGrove.com publisher Neil McCready, and featuring RebelGrove.com and Rivals.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast is your number one podcast dedicated to Ole Miss football and basketball recruiting.
Caution, you are about to enter the no-spin zone.
Featuring guests from throughout the Rivals.com network, the Soft Verbal Podcast tells you what is happening and what's going to happen on the recruiting trail, and it does it in style. Just like Dead Soxy.
I'm better looking than you.
Visit DeadSoxy.com and enter Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order of the best dress socks you'll ever wear. Now here's your host, Neil McCready.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. I'm Neil McCready in the Clark Ford Studios. Russell Johnson will join me momentarily. Of course, Russell covers Ole Miss recruiting, Georgia Tech recruiting for Rivals.com, RebelGrove.com. We will get to Russell in just a moment. Let me first tell you about Dead Soxy. I've been wearing Dead Soxy for months. Russell's been wearing Dead Soxy. I won't wear another dress sock, and I'll tell you why. You have to try them yourself to completely understand, but it's a premium sock. It's made from bamboo. They stay up. They don't tear. They stay cool even on the hottest of days. Even when you're on your feet all day, they stay soft. They're simply phenomenal. You have to see for yourself, and now's a great time to see for yourself because, pardon me, if you go to deadsoxy.com, DeadSoxy.com, and enter promo code RebelGrove at checkout, you get 30% off everything, including what's left of the Mississippi line. I was on the site, I guess, just a couple days ago, ordered a few pair. There's not a lot left from that Mississippi line, but there's a little bit left. So if you're finishing out your collection, now's the time to go do that. If you haven't tried a pair, now's the time to give it a shot. 30% off. There's deals all over the site. They're phenomenal socks. You'll absolutely love them. My dad ordered a pair. He was bragging about them, and sure enough, he went and got more. I talked to so many people who they got a pair just to try it. They love them. They've gotten more. So give them a shot. You're helping this podcast. You're helping keep this podcast on the, quote, air, end quote, when you do it. And we would appreciate it. It's deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code RebelGrove at checkout. 30% off everything, not just the Mississippi line. Everything at deadsoxy.com. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It is that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggle. There's no hassle. You just get a great quote, and then you decide what you want to do with that quote. You can shop it around, of course, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others, and that is make car buying so simple, and we'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy, and you'll save $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Russell, welcome into the program. How are you?
Doing good. This is the time of year where I have at least four or five phone chargers spread throughout the house in different rooms. So I'm always ready and always prepared for basically anything.
All right. So people are going to hear this on Tuesday morning. We're loading it before we even start the Oxford Exxon podcast. So when they hear this, signing day will be roughly 24 hours, give or take an hour away. It certainly doesn't have the drama of the early signing period. It doesn't have the drama of February's past, I guess, starting 2 years ago. But there's still a lot that can, a lot that can change here in these last 24 hours or so, right?
Oh yeah, there definitely is, and Ole Miss is one of the schools who, I mean, like you said, there isn't that much drama, but there's still more drama around Ole Miss than there is the majority of other programs, both in the SEC and at the Power Five level.
All right, before we get into all of what's going to happen or not happen on Wednesday, just kind of your overall thoughts. You've covered this class from, you know, Genesis to Revelations, if you will. I mean, you've covered it from beginning to end. What are your overall thoughts on this 2019 class for Ole Miss?
Well, I think that, you know, being able to sign two quarterbacks was something that going into, like, you know, this time last year, right after signing day, when it seemed as if they were only going to take one, and you saw the depth or lack thereof behind Matt Corral, and people would be kind of worried because, you know, if Corral goes down, it would have been Grant Tisdale or nobody. You had a couple walk-ons and, you know, possibly the transfer market. But at that point, the transfer market wasn't nearly exactly what it is now, where we've got over 2,000 people in the NCAA transfer portal now. I believe the number was 2,130-something yesterday when I talked to somebody.
That's unbelievable.
You said what?
That's unbelievable. It's such a huge number.
It is insane. But with that being said, at the quarterback position now, you've got some options. You couldn't say that this time last year, and you couldn't say that when you just had Grant Tisdale committed. At the quarterback position, you would have to say that that has been a success. And then with the potential addition of athlete / quarterback John Rhys Plumlee, who could or could not make a decision tonight, either while we're recording, after we record, or sometime tomorrow, it's still up for debate. But it seems as if they have a real shot, if not the leader currently, to land him. But other than that, you know, you get to the offensive line where they signed several. They signed an impact one in Darius Thomas. They signed an impact one in Jeremy James. They held off Ohio State for Nick Broeker. But the big miss at offensive line was Charles Cross from Laurel. Everybody knows that. Ole Miss had their chance. Ole Miss had their chance to lock it down. He visited Mississippi State the next weekend and committed. And then, you know, finishing up the offense, running back is still up in the air. We'll have to talk more about that after we see what happens with Jerry and Ely and Amonte Spivey in the next couple of days. But other than that, at the wide receiver position, you still got Jonathan Mingo in the air. And in tight end position, there's nobody. And I would say that would be the glaring hole. And not signing a tight end 2 years in a row is not something you normally see from a Power 5 school. Now get into the defensive side of the ball. You can't talk about the defense and Ole Miss in the 2019 class and not mention, I hate to say his name on here, but N'Kobe Dean. And the miss that was N'Kobe Dean, the Horn Lake linebacker, from about a little over an hour away from Oxford, visited campus probably close to 100 times throughout his recruitment, and ended up signing with Georgia.
Has a brother on scholarship on campus, yeah.
That's right, yes. They have the brother who's on campus, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. That'll be kind of interesting to see now that, you know, everything's done there. But outside of that, you've still got a chance. I mean, the defensive line, you've got a chance to close pretty well. I really like Brandon Mack. I like Brandon Mack better than I do a couple of the in-state kids. I don't like him better than I do Byron Young by any means, but Mack is a good piece. The chance to add Ladarius Cox to that defensive line is something that they need to do, especially after the situation last year with Noah Jefferson signing. I mean, he was going to be an impact signee. Then we found out that he wasn't going to qualify. He ended up at Florida Atlantic. Don't know if he ever played or what happened there. But with that, I mean, that was such a big miss and kind of unexpected. Nobody expected James Williams from Callaway last year to qualify. So that wasn't really a surprise. But the defensive line came in as a focal point, and if they're able to close with Mack, Cox, and potentially Byron Young, you have to consider that somewhat of a success, even though that would only be one of the very talented Mississippi in-state linemen. Getting to the secondary, they signed, you know, some impact pieces. I'm not sure if I would call them, you know, ready-made, as if I don't know. I don't know how I would call the defensive backs. Because, I mean, DeAndre Prince needs to put weight on. Tay Standifer is going to play linebacker. Jay Stanley is a tweener between safety and linebacker. And then you've got some other guys. Jamar Richardson is somebody who they're probably going to expect quite a bit out of. The cornerback who they signed in the class of 2017 and then signed again in the class of 2019 back in December. He's on campus, and I think they expect him to improve and to show, hopefully, that he can compete for a starting job, because they're going to need him in the secondary. And I would say that's between that and the tight end position. Those are my two big misses for them in the class of 2019.
fairly or not, because of what happened in the last 24 hours or less of the early signing period, that was viewed by most as a failure. Is that fair?
Oh, 100% fair.
Okay.
Well, fair that that's what it's called, not fair that it was. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Perception. So here's my question. What on Wednesday would happen to be considered or perceived as a failure? What has to happen to be considered or perceived as a success?
I think from the surface point, not signing Byron Young, even though it's a long shot, even as of 5:46 Central Time on Monday, not signing him and missing on all of the in-state defensive linemen, whether or not they close on Ladarius Cox, Brendan Mack, and possibly maybe even some a mystery defensive tackle, which is not Ooh. Going to happen and unexpected.
Mystery.
But what I'm saying is that having nobody from that vaunted defensive line class in the state of Mississippi, you had Charles Moore, you have Nathan Pickering, you've got Byron Young, you've got DeMonte Russell. I mean, you've got so many talented athletes, and for none of them to choose Ole Miss, that will be something that, regardless of how Ole Miss closes otherwise, will be brought up in the next handful of years.
I had someone.
Other than that,
let me interrupt you real quick, because I had someone tell me, you've done such a great job on this class and on recruiting in general that, quite frankly, I haven't kept up with it as much as I normally would. But I had someone tell me that there are as many as 8 legitimate SEC/Division I defensive linemen in Mississippi in this class. Is that hyperbole or is that fair?
Did you say 8?
Yeah, the number that was given to me was 8. Is that so that's probably a little high. How many legitimate D1/SEC defensive linemen in this class? From
Let's
Mississippi.
See.
Not Ole Miss's class. In the class of 2019 from Mississippi.
6? 5,
and,
maybe?
And if they don't get Young, they go 0-5/0-6, which is, that is failure.
That is choosing not to take Jamon Gordon is a risk.
So I interrupted the rest of your you were given that answer. So I'm sorry for interrupting it, but I just wanted to kind of put the defensive line thing in context.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most talented class in the state of Mississippi that they've ever had. You can compare it all you want to 2016. You can compare it all you want to 2011. Everybody's favorite, Demetri Warren, actually tweeted out, I think a couple of days ago, it might have been last week, but that this is a record number of Division I signees in the state of Mississippi, and basically ever since people started following recruiting. And that's something that I don't think – I don't know if the class of 2022 will have a chance, maybe the class of 2021, but the class of 2020 certainly does not have a chance to stack up to that class. But getting back to, you know, what makes a – you were talking about a failure or a success
for
Wednesday?
Well, both, Russell. I mean, what scenario, you know, means success? What scenario would mean failure in terms of the way it's widely perceived?
So from a perception standpoint, getting Ely back in the class is something that Ole Miss would love to do, and I think fans would love to do. You've got the baseball questions, which we'll touch on
yeah.
a little bit later. But you need to get him back in the class. He was committed for so long. He was, what everybody said that he was committed and he was going to play baseball and that all he was going to do was use his time as a commitment to help recruit Ole Miss, and then that really didn't happen. Then Clemson came into the picture, Mississippi State came into the picture, now Alabama came into the picture. I mean, it's become clear that he is a wanted man, and Ole Miss to beat out Alabama and Clemson for a recruit, and Ely's doing it on ESPN, that would be something that Ole Miss fans would really consider a success. I would almost say that more so from a perception standpoint than actually from a football standpoint, because you still have Scotty Phillips for a year and Woolard didn't exactly show that he wasn't SEC caliber as many thought he was when he signed in the class of 2016.
Yeah. Woolard was 16. Maybe he was, no, he was 17.
Yeah. 'Cause 17. And then he sat out a year and then they kept their word. That's what it was. But yeah, I would say that. And then, you know, being able to keep Mingo. Mingo is someone who's been committed for so long, and especially if they were to lose him to Mississippi State, that would not sit well with Ole Miss fans whatsoever. And then figuring out the linebacker position. It's not even an elephant in the room. I mean, you hear the words Ole Miss and linebacker, and for me at least, you automatically assume that they missed on a kid, which is something that you don't expect from an SEC West school, which is hoping to compete in, you know, the future.
Okay, we're going to get to predictions in a minute because there was a lot of we could talk about the whole emoji thing, which I actually enjoyed. A lot of people enjoyed, but some people just could not. They could not handle it. If you remember the last soft verbal before the early signing period, you swept it. You did not miss one prediction. So we'll get to your predictions in a minute.
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's the way it works here at RebelGrove.com and on the Soft Verbal podcast. You talked about the portal, 2,100 plus people in the transfer portal. Obviously, Ole Miss is like everybody else. And when I say everybody, I mean every program in the country is perusing, scouring the transfer portal every day. Ole Miss is no exception. What positions is Ole Miss looking for in that portal? Damn near everything, right?
Linebacker, tight end, wide receiver. Wide receivers only if Mingo doesn't sign. But there are some receivers that they are highly interested in, and they seem to have a plan in place for that in the case that Mingo doesn't end up signing. But possibly DB, but they're not going to just take a kid to take a kid. And they're not going to take somebody just because they were five stars out of high school, which – while George Campbell from Florida State would be an amazing pickup for any school from a perception standpoint, you know, getting back to perception again, Campbell has struggled at the collegiate level. He's struggled to stay healthy. And for some people who I've talked to close to him and around Florida State, it seems as if he was more harm than good. And Taggart seems to be kind of cleaning out the fat, I guess you could call it, in Tallahassee. But other than that, like I said, DB is somewhere where I think they'll look and get a couple visitors in between now and spring ball once the dead period ends. But it'll be something to keep track of for sure. And it's kind of like a third recruiting season for recruiting analysts, because after National Signing Day is when people who miss, they're going to go all in on that portal. And they're going to be hosting kids, and they're going to be hosting kids, and there's going to be former football players at spring practices, and you won't even know who it is. It's going to create an entire new part of our industry.
All right, Russell, before we get into predictions, let me tell you a little bit about State Farm agent Wally Morgan. So you've cut out those lattes, you've put in those Curly Q light bulbs, you've brown bagged your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late, a few hundred dollars short. So try this. Give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call. Tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve, like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7062, 662-539-7062, because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. All right, Russell, it's prediction time. You nailed it last time, so we'll start with the easy one here, even though it's kind of complicated. Jerry and Ely, you put in your future cast for him earlier on Monday. You said Jerry and Ely, who visited Alabama last weekend, he's visited Clemson, he's visited Ole Miss. You've got Jerry and Ely signing with Ole Miss on Wednesday.
Yes, I do. I do. And I also think that this is where it gets to be kind of on the bold side of things. I also think he's going to play football next year.
Whoa.
And whether it
really?
whether it is just for 1 year or for, you know, possibly two or three, it is still, you know, kind of going to see, you know, where he ends up in the MLB draft. But I have talked to some sources. Believe it or not, somehow I've developed sources in baseball. And as much of a baseball, what do you call them, seam head as I am, I've been able to talk to some people who have said that Ely's stock is dropping, and it is in part to the situation taking place with Kyler Murray. And then also with Ely playing in that Under Armour game hurt his baseball stock a lot more than it helped his football stock. There were a couple teams who didn't want him to play. There were a couple of, what's the proper word for them? What are they called? Advisors.
Yeah.
There were a couple of Ely's advisors who did not want him playing in that game. Ely said it himself when I talked to him that he did not want to play in that game. He wanted to get a couple carries and then kind of go from there. But I think he saw that he has the ability, and it's not just because he's going against private school kids. You know, he's got the ability to play in the SEC and to play well. Now, if he does play football, do I think he plays college baseball? No, I do not. I think he takes the money from baseball, and I think he somehow finagles and finesses some type of agreement to where he's able to play football.
Okay,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. Let's touch on this. I hate to interrupt you, but I know people are asking questions, and I want to make sure we get to them. I agree with you, by the way. Okay, so here's how this works, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Russell. Feel free; it's not going to hurt my feelings. If he plays football, he can still take the professional baseball money, the AJ Brown route, that kind of thing. If he plays college baseball, he's committed to baseball. He could not go back into the baseball draft for 3 years.
That is correct. Yes.
If he plays football, let's say he plays football and doesn't sign with a baseball team. He just plays football, doesn't play baseball. He could leave, like former Ole Miss, who was Anthony Alford, did this. He could leave after a year and go play baseball. He could still leave, and I guess the team that drafts him would have his rights for a certain number of years. So he's got some options. It's not, he doesn't have to make the football-baseball choice right away, but let's be real. If he wants first-round money, if he wants the big top of the first round draft money, he's got to give up football at least for a few years. He could go play baseball, and if it, say, it didn't work out, as long as he didn't enroll on a campus, his football eligibility, he could go back in 3-4 years from now, sign an NLI, and go play football at the college level. He would still have his football eligibility.
That is correct.
So you think, if you had to guess today, and I'll hold you to your future cast on him signing with Ole Miss. I will not, and anybody who does, man, you guys are crazy. I won't hold you to the football thing. But as of today, you think that there's a decent chance that not only he signs with Ole Miss, but that he enrolls on campus at some point in the summer and plays football for Ole Miss in 2019.
Yes, I put that at, yeah, I'm not going to do percentages or fire emojis, so yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I would, it's better than 50-50.
Okay, fascinating. I did not see that coming. All right.
I didn't either, because, you know, for the longest time, we talked about Ely, and we talked about, like, it became nauseating almost to talk about him on this podcast, because it was just a done deal that he was going to baseball. But, you know, the trip to Orlando really changed things for the, like I said, for the downside in his baseball stock and for the upside in his football stock. I mean, he's ranked in the top 60 now in the Rivals 100, and I don't think he would be that if there wasn't any type of chance of him playing.
All right, here we go. Prediction number two. Insert drum roll here. Byron Young.
So if you would have asked me yesterday, I would have been a little bit more on the fence between Ole Miss and Alabama, but you're asking me right now, and I'm going with him signing with Alabama. Young seems like the type of kid to honor his commitment, and I mean, he's not for the fanfare. Like I said in 10 Thoughts yesterday, you know, he's not going to do a hat ceremony, at least not by his choosing. He's not going to tweet out some fancy edit. I mean, he'll just go about his business, sign his national letter of intent, and move on. And that's something that is so lost in translation in recruiting these days, because everybody is so obsessed with the attention and the clout that comes with being a recruit, that it's refreshing. And Young will do a handful of interviews, and that's it. I mean, he's not going to tell you about every little part of the visit. He's not going to tell you about every conversation he had with the coach. And for me, at least, that's refreshing, because you've got some kids who will tell you, so-and-so sent me a postcard when I was in the ninth grade. And to be honest with you, that's fine and dandy. But at the same time, having more kids like Young would not be a deterrent for the business going forward.
Okay, so you've got Jerry Neely to Ole Miss. You've got Young to Alabama. What about Jonathan Mingo?
I think Jonathan Mingo stays true to his word and signs with Ole Miss. I'm not sure who is finishing number two between Georgia and Mississippi State. I know there has been some serious negative recruiting about the potential of Ole Miss signing another one of the upcoming predictions, and John Rhys Plumlee and his ability or lack thereof of being a top-flight quarterback from some college coaches at some schools in the SEC who may or may not wear maroon. But with that being
that
said,
damn Texas A&M, they're crazy, aren't they? There's something else. Texas.
It is. Yeah. The Aggies. I warned people they were coming, but they didn't listen to me.
Yep.
But with that being said, I think Mingo, you know, stays true to his word. I think the relationship with Peeler pays off. I think Derek Nix, to a degree, in his work he's done in the Brandon community for several years, I think it all comes to fruition, and Mingo sticks true to his word and signs with Ole Miss.
Okay, I think you put in a future cast on Lakia Henry earlier on Monday, if I read that correctly. Am I right?
Yes, I did.
So you've got Lakia Henry signing with Arkansas on Wednesday.
That is correct, I do. He got back from his official visit to the University of Texas, got all the way back to Dodge City, Kansas, drove to Fayetteville, Arkansas. You'll have to pull up the maps app. I just know it's not a short drive. And then drove back in the same day. Yesterday, during the quiet period, where you couldn't go see a kid, but the kid could go see you. And whether or not that conversation with Chambers was to finish his recruitment or just to talk ball or whatever everybody says it is, I think that is a clear sign that's either where he's leaning towards or where he's committed to. Whether or not he makes that public before Wednesday is still up for grabs. And then, I mean, as we've seen with Ole Miss and linebackers, things can change on Wednesday morning. Things can change on Tuesday night. So there's still a ways to go there, but I feel really real confident on my Arkansas pick.
Okay. John Rhys Plumlee, I know that we all have some sources on that. We hear different things. As of Sunday night, I was hearing he's pretty torn. What's your – I know you haven't put in a future cast on him yet. At least I don't think you have. What's your
– they don't let us.
What's your – oh, that's right, because he's predicted – he's because he's committed somewhere.
I guess you could call it committed.
Technically.
He's committed to the University of Georgia. Yes.
Okay. So that prevents you from doing it. So what's your prediction on where Plumlee signs on Wednesday?
I think he signs with Ole Miss. I think the Florida State situation is something that is obviously in his mind and weighing on him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up there. But with Ole Miss has been on him his entire recruitment, ever since they offered him. They never gave up. They didn't pull off on him like they did Charles Cross, and I'm sure if they could had a chance to trade the two and kept on Charles Cross and maybe backed off a little bit on Plumlee throughout the year, they would have much rather done that looking back. But I think that pays off, and I think that the being recruited in Rich Rodriguez's offense is something that Plumlee is not only interested in, but he sees himself actually doing. Whether or not he actually, you know, plays quarterback and shows up on the depth chart in Memphis when, you know, Ole Miss takes on the Tigers in August or September or whenever, it's still up for debate. But as of right now, he wants to be listed as a quarterback, and he's being recruited as a quarterback. Now, with Florida State's got a real lack of depth at the quarterback position. They didn't sign anybody this year. DeAndre Francois just left. For Florida State, it's between Lance Legendary from Warren Easton, Louisiana, and Plumlee. I think right now that they're going to get Lance, and Ole Miss is going to get Plumlee. And you could see Plumlee announce a decision before we finish recording this podcast, before they hear this podcast, or he could wait until Wednesday. There's been reports all over the place with that.
Well,
but Florida State is an intriguing option for him.
In the event that he does, I'll be your witness that as of we're taping this at 6:17 Central Time on Monday night, I will be your witness that you projected him to Ole Miss. All right, a couple more to go. Ladarius Cox.
Well, Ladarius Cox is another one I think ends up at Ole Miss. Ladarius Cox from McGill Tulane. Tyler Siski, basically the GM of recruiting for Ole Miss. He was on the road for a few weeks, and Ladarius Cox and Brandon Mack were his two main targets. If he's able to land both of them, between him and Freddie Roach, of course, Freddie Roach deserves some credit with Cox and with Mack as well. But with that being said, Cox has been committed to Tennessee, but his commitment to Tennessee is about as strong as John Rhys Plumlee's is to Georgia. And with that, I mean, Tennessee is starting to look elsewhere. Tennessee, that's a school that could flop or could end up with a five-star offensive tackle on Wednesday. But that's another topic for another show or anything like that. But Auburn is the school that other people really think that Cox is considering and possibly even leading for. But my sources and I feel pretty confident that he's going to end up at Ole Miss.
I'm guessing that if Ole Miss gets Ely, that means you believe that Spivey sticks with his commitment to Arkansas, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Those words you were going to put in my mouth are correct.
Okay, so if that scenario happens, that's a pretty good close for Ole Miss, right? I mean, that's maybe not as good as it could have been, but it's certainly a lot better than it could have been as well. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I would say that, and I think the scenario that I just painted would be one that, from a strictly National Signing Day, February 6th standpoint, should be considered a success. Overall, is the class considered a success? You got to ask somebody else, at least until all of that becomes official. Or you have to wait till the morning after to see my column, because it's really all about how you perceive it. Because like we talked about earlier, the defensive lineman in the state, best class ever. Charles Cross, N'Kobe Dean, those two, and that defensive line class, that's a big miss. Now, filling holes and getting depth and signing several of the top 30 in the state rather than, you know, talking about the top 10 or top 15 or top 20, you're getting depth. And that's, I think, what this class is about for Ole Miss, was about regaining the depth and getting back to 85, which they've been counting down the days until they could do that.
All right, if you're right about Lakia Henry, and I think you are, but assuming you are, where does Ole Miss go for linebacker? And is there anywhere they can go in this class, or is it to the transfer portal?
It is. They're going to be portaling like portaling is going out of style, because they need somebody. And I think they realize that. And I think they're going to – I don't know if they're going to go after the grad transfer from Colgate. I don't know if they're going to go after a grad transfer, or if they're going to go after somebody who has some years of eligibility remaining. But they need somebody, and – I don't know if it's more of an instant impact need, you know, with having Hibbler and Sinago and those guys again, but you need somebody. And like I talked about earlier, when you hear the words Ole Miss and linebacker, you almost assume in the past few years that it's a miss, which is not something that Ole Miss needs to have anymore.
All right, so – last few things. You wanted me to ask you about dream offers. What are you?
Oh my gosh!
Go ahead.
It is the time of year where you've got these either a 2019 kid getting a dream offer from like an FCS school, and I mean for any kid at that level at this stage of the game, they should just be thankful that they got an offer. You don't need to include the word dream offer, because it's your dream, I'm sure, to play football for free. So I guarantee you didn't grow up wanting to play for Coastal Carolina. No offense to the Chanticleers, but you just wanted to play football. And then you've also got these kids, these 4- and 5-star kids who everybody grew up an Oregon fan, so everybody calls Oregon a dream offer. You don't know anything about the program. You see what you see on TV, and then you all of a sudden call it your dream school. And I think that part of recruiting has just completely gotten out of hand. That and talking about 8th graders and 7th graders.
Yeah.
I know you agree with that part.
Yeah. You know more about the dream offer stuff than I do. The 8th grade stuff, I'm against it. I'm fundamentally against it. I don't like it. I wish we'd stop it. I can't stand it. I don't like ranking kids that young. I really don't like writing about college choices for kids who haven't even started high school. I don't. I'm fundamentally against it. I'm in the minority, and I'm going to lose that argument if we have a meeting, and we all sit down and talk. I'm going to lose it, but I'm willing to kind of die on that hill a little bit. A lot of the people that make these decisions, quite frankly, don't have kids, and it's a little bit of, I'm not talking about rivals necessarily. I'm not talking about 24/7 either, though. You know, it's that everybody just wants to get out in front, be the first to rank something or whatever. And I don't, you know, like there was a baseball story written about a kid that's like, you know, a couple years older than Carson. Carson's going into the 7th grade in August. He hasn't made a college decision. He couldn't begin to tell you, A, what he wants to do, B, where he wants to go, what kind of school he's looking for. I mean, how do you even – and I know people say, well, it's different when you play football. Okay, let's say he was a football player. He would not be able to make an educated guess about what a program's going to look like in 6 years. Not right now. There's no way. So I'm totally against it, but everybody does it. I'll lose that argument. Let's see. A couple last things to get to before we close up, because the highlights of this one are done. I think Ole Miss kind of avoided a little bit of a bullet when Brennan Chapman decided to stay at Ole Miss and not go. I know Hugh Freeze was trying to get him to Liberty. I think Arkansas was a much bigger threat to Ole Miss than Liberty ever was.
Yes, Arkansas was definitely a bigger threat, to the point to where I believe at one point he had told them he was going to take the job. And then word got around in Oxford, like everything always does in Oxford, and they made a counteroffer, and they've been able to keep him. And, I mean, like you said, Liberty was after him. There were some other schools, some schools last year went after him. And I believe every, I don't know if they call them senior level Shark Tank members, but the main three of the recruiting staff between Brennan, Clayton Karcher, and Steven Ruzick, all three of them have gotten other job offers since the end of the season. And for Ole Miss fans who are watching Ole Miss currently, you sit at number 24, they don't understand that. But the thing is, we'll get into this in another show. Maybe we'll get Tyler Siski on at some point. But everybody wants to run the recruiting system and the recruiting model that Tyler Siski and these three have been able to build. They do it. I wouldn't say they mirror Alabama, but they obviously have their own twist to it. But it is heavily appealing to several schools. And, you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I also cover Georgia Tech. Well, Georgia Tech recently also hired somebody who runs that same system. And these schools, they are so, I wouldn't say, admirable. They admire the other schools that are running these systems, and they see the results and the early evaluations and the results that are coming from it with early commitments, and then the lack of real drama in February signing day with other schools other than Ole Miss, of course. And they see that and they want to replicate it. And by replicating it, they're going to have to at least try to poach one of those people from Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. All right, let's kind of wrap there. The 2020 class in Mississippi is gaining some depth. Not a lot of star power in it, outside of maybe the top three players. We'll talk about that next week when we might do a short one of these later this week, sort of recapping what happened. But we'll turn the page to 2020 next week for sure. We'll talk about that. And obviously at that point, it's going to be time to talk about the portal as well. I don't think there's any question Ole Miss is going to be involved in the portal. Maybe we'll have some specifics at that point. And I want to remind everybody about Dead Soxy. Pretty soon you're going to have an opportunity to be a part of the process in creating new sock concepts. A reminder, there are still some limited quantities of the Mississippi sock line available. They're trying to get rid of those, trying to move that inventory so they can start their new lines. So that means Advantage Consumer, 30% off at checkout, deadsoxy.com. You want to find out what a great sock, what a quality sock feels like. Now's the time to get a pair from deadsoxy.com. Enter code REBELGROVE at checkout for 30% off at checkout. For Russell Johnson, Russell, really appreciate your time. For Russell, I'm Neil McCready. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Dead Soxy. We'll be back for sure next week as we turn the page to 2020, and we might have a little bonus edition for you later this week, a little short version of the podcast to sort of recap the 2019 class, as it will be all done with the exception of transfer portals and such like that. So for Russell, I'm Neil. Until later, take care.